I call this August 10th, 2016 Planning and Zoning Commission meeting to order. I'm Chairman Harker, and I'll be presiding over tonight's meeting. May I have a roll call, please?
Yes. Gochman?
Here.
Goins?
Here.
Jerez?
Here.
Markham?
Here.
Olson?
Here.
Vineyard?
Here.
And Harker?
Here.
Thank you.
All right. Seeing how this is our first Planning and Zoning Commission meeting, we don't need to do any previous meeting minutes, but I would like to welcome everybody. The new people here, great to see you guys. The old guys, good to have you back as well. So thanks, everybody. Moving on here to the citizen comments. Are there any citizen comments from the public tonight regarding any topic not listed on the agenda? Awesome. Seeing there is none from the public, we'll move on to the next item on the agenda, which is the public hearing. There is one public hearing on tonight's agenda for the Planning and Zoning Commission meeting. The purpose of this hearing is to invite testimony from the members of public regarding the proposed request that is being considered before the board. Public testimony from persons present who wish to speak may be for or against the request, or ask questions to the petitioner regarding the request being heard. Those people, or those persons wishing to testify, are asked to speak clearly one at a time, state your name and who you represent, if anyone. You're also asked to sign in at the podium if you haven't already done so. If you plan to speak at tonight's public hearing, as a petitioner or member of the public, please stand, raise your right hand, and repeat after me. Raise your right hand, please. I state your name.
Nick Calajuresis.
Do solemnly swear.
Do solemnly swear.
That the testimony I will present at this hearing.
That the testimony I will present at this hearing.
Is the truth, the whole truth, and nothing but the truth.
Is the truth, whole truth, and nothing but the truth.
Awesome, thank you. Okay, so the order in which we're going to go through this, the petitioner will do his presentation, and then any of those that are wishing to speak in favor of the request, those in opposition, and then any questions that we might have from the Planning and Zoning Commissioners to the petitioner. May I have a motion to open the public hearing on petition number PZC 2016-01?
Second.
Can I get a roll call on the vote, please?
Yes. Goins?
Yes.
Jerez?
Yes.
Markham?
Yes.
Olson?
Yes.
Vineyard?
Yes.
Gochman?
Yes.
Harker?
Yes. All right. PZC 2016-01, the United City of Yorkville will conduct a public hearing regarding the adoption of the proposed update to the Yorkville Comprehensive Plan, including a new future land use map pursuant to section 11-12-7 of the Illinois Municipal Code, 65 ILCS 5/11-12-7, and section 9-1-1 of the Yorkville City Code. Is the petitioner ready?
Yes.
Awesome.
Thank you.
Thank you. As I've said, Nick Calajuresis. I am with the Lakota Group, and we're a planning and urban design firm based in Chicago, Illinois. And as I'm sure some of you are aware, we have been engaged with the city over the last couple of years to develop a comprehensive plan. It is an update to the 2008 plan, and we're almost at the finish line. And what we'll present tonight is sort of an overview of the plan. As you can see in front of you, we've kind of killed this agrarian forest by putting out the plan. But it is a lengthy plan, but we do have an executive summary that kind of summarizes the major concepts in the plan. And my PowerPoint tonight, we'll just go over sort of the major highlights of the plan, and feel free to ask any questions as we go through the PowerPoint. There is a lot within the plan. First of all, I want to say that it has been a pleasure to work with the city on this plan, with Christy and her staff. Over the last couple of years, we've had a very good process, and we feel that this plan represents what the community would like to see happen in the future. So, hopefully, I'm not sure if you're going to be able to read all that, but I do have a copy of the PowerPoint handout, so you'll be able to read a little bit later on. But why updating the plan? I think one of the first things that we recognized, it's a little small, but one of the things we want to recognize is that since 2008, a lot of things have changed, especially in terms of the economy. In a lot of communities before 2008 had a much different comprehensive plan focus. Since 2008, with the economic recession, a lot of communities are now re-examining their comprehensive plans in that light. And obviously, it's always a good practice to update the comprehensive plan every 5 to 10 years. What is the one thing that this plan looks towards is we're looking at another 5 to 10 years ahead. What are sort of the major strategies or major things that we need to look at as a community in terms of our downtown, the residential areas, city infrastructure, your transportation network? And so we took a close look at all of those things and provided sort of a kind of high-level strategies in which we need to proceed going forward. As I said, we're almost at the finish line. It has been a two-year process. And the process started with an assessment of the community. And then we went into a visioning phase to really talk with the community about what they'd like to see happen going forward. And we've spent, I think, since January kind of refining the strategies that are presented in this comprehensive plan. We're almost ready for city adoption. In a nutshell, the comprehensive plan is organized in two parts. The first part is really kind of a summary of existing conditions, basically a summary of what we did during the first phase of this process. And the second part is the comprehensive plan. And as I've said, we took a close look at several different areas, your downtown, residential areas, your transportation network, and some implementation strategies along the way. So it's two parts of the comprehensive plan. One of the things we did throughout this process, and any good comprehensive plan process, is that we had a community engagement program, and we did, along during this process, we did a series of community workshops, stakeholder interviews, and most importantly, we worked with a steering committee to help us craft this plan. Some of you have sat on that steering committee. I have to say, it was one of the better steering committees, one of the best steering committees I've worked with in a comprehensive plan. They seemed very engaged and really helped us craft the plan going forward. So we did get a chance to really talk to the community throughout this process. And first to start off, I think, as I've said, the first part of the plan is a summary of existing conditions. And I'm not going to go over the first part in any great detail today because I wanted to talk about the comprehensive plan. But several different planning issues did come to the fore. We were looking at issues related to your housing and your subdivisions, what to do with the downtown district, looking at your transportation network, not just the roads, but looking at your bicycle and trail networks. Your green and open space, how to enhance that, and looking at your infrastructure issues. And so we took a very close look at that, and it's all summarized in section 2 of the comprehensive plan. And I think probably the big takeaway in the section 2 is that we're definitely not Yorkville pre-2008. We're a different Yorkville in terms of where our growth strategy is going to be, in terms of how our neighborhoods are going to look like, our commercial areas are going to look like, and where's the emphasis in terms of our energies as a community putting forward in terms of enhancing areas like your downtown. And I think we heard clearly from the community over the process that downtown was really important and we need to start focusing on that. So we're not Yorkville in 2008. We're probably going to grow a little bit slower, a little bit more incrementally. But I think one thing is it gives a chance for the community to begin to take a look at, again, not just your downtown, but how does the community look and appear over time? So we have a chance to manage that growth a little bit better. Now going into the comprehensive plan, and I'm just pointing out certain pages within the document. And the first thing that we have in our comprehensive plan is an overall vision statement. and sort of summarizes where we want to go as a community. It's the ultimate benchmark. And it's also summarizing the executive summary as well. And so it just gives an overview of where our goals are, what our ultimate goal as a community we're going to be in the future. And the points up on the PowerPoint kind of summarize what we really want to accomplish. One is we want to encourage some diversity in our land use. We may not just want to be a single-family suburban community that has the $200,000 home. That's the only housing product we offer. We want to be able to diversify land use a little bit more so that we can encourage a wide variety of people to come and live in Yorkville. As I said, we want to revitalize the downtown, very big focus. We want to have sustainable residential development, which means that we may want to think about really focusing in on the residential areas that we really want to fill in rather than encouraging development out further out of the fringe. So we really want to kind of focus closer into the community. We want to be able to have a transportation system that is multimodal, not only cars, but completing the bicycle trail network. We also want to have more recreational amenities, and I'll talk more about that. I think a big focus of the plan is also, as you probably have read or heard in other places, is we want to placement Yorkville. We want people to understand that when they live here, they live in Yorkville. And we heard from a number of community residents who kind of said they associate themselves living with their subdivisions rather than associate themselves living in the community of Yorkville. So how do we better tie the growing areas of Yorkville together to make it one cohesive place? And last but not least, we want to have high-quality community services. So that's really kind of summarizing the community vision statement. Oops. I'm not going to go into all of these in great detail. They're kind of summarized in 78. So everything I've kind of mentioned is summarized in a series of goals of what we want to be able to do. And again, sustainable growth, revitalize downtown, being able to plan what happens along your major corridors in terms of Illinois Route 47, Alderman Road. So looking at how do we, you know, manage growth along those corridors and encourage good community design along the way. We want to be able to fill in our residential neighborhoods. We want to have high quality design. We want to be able to continue to build the open space network that is here in Yorkville. And I'm trying to be able to read all this. Complete the transportation network. And then we want to have a systematic approach to growth. And I'll talk a little more about that a little bit later on, is how we grow in the future. This is the future land use map, and a copy is in front of you in the executive summary. It's also in the document on page 80. And I'll get a little bit more into this. The future land use map has changed since the 2008 plan. In terms, I think, a couple of big things. One is we are not expecting the Prairie Parkway to happen. We're not expecting it to happen. So we had this large planning area. We still took it into account that you had this large planning area. We are not thinking the Prairie Parkway is going to happen. And secondly, we think you're going to probably grow at a more modest rate, maybe 100 housing units per year, maybe a little bit more, a little bit less. So we also think your commercial areas are not going to grow as fast as what the 2008 plan looked at. So we made some changes in some areas where we thought in 2008 it was going to grow in commercial areas. We are now going to turn some of those areas to open space. But we can always think of that as a temporary change because we never know in the future when commercial growth will start to happen again in Yorkville. But we're mainly looking at areas north on 47 and the areas south of 47 where we had some commercial happening, but without the Prairie Parkway and slower residential growth, we don't think some of those commercial areas are going to happen. A couple of things, if I had a point, I'd point them out a little bit more, but we do take into account that Metra is still looking at feasibility for a future train station and storage yard, and we have two areas in the land use plan that could potentially be the location of that. And we're up on North 47, along There's an area.
I got a pointer on your.
Oh, is there?
Yeah, it's at the top. It's the red button.
Oh, there we go.
There you go.
Ah, thank you. So we are looking at potential, you know, this is where Metro is currently looking at, the potential storage area and maybe a station. Here's a TOD area that the 2008 plan called out. We left that in just in case, you know, Metro may decide to look at a different location. So we kept those in. As I said earlier about the commercial areas, your 2008 plan had commercial growth going up these spines along 47. We actually have taken that out. Simply because, as I've said, we don't think Prairie Parkway is going to happen, and there's going to be slower residential growth. So those are really kind of the major changes in the land use plan. The only other major change that we're recommending is that there's an area here, the area shopping cluster at 47 and 34, where we're actually recommending some higher density residential to happen in that area, simply because they can be closer. This is an area we think it's appropriate. It's closer to shopping. Closer to downtown, and there's available land to do some higher density. So that's really kind of the major changes, not too many major changes in the land use plan. Again, I'm not going to go into any great detail. These are the land use categories that are depicted in the future land use map. So we haven't changed the terminology too much from 2008. The only exception being is that, we've added a mid-density residential area, the area that I showed near 47 and 34, we added that category in there. We also have a transit-oriented development land use zone as well, too. So that's really the only major changes in the land use strategy. Within the comp plan, what we've done is sort of explain this a little bit more. On page 85, we have what is called one of these matrix. And within this matrix, we take each of those categories and we sort of describe in detail what should be recommended in those areas in terms of the use, in terms of the physical design, how does it relate to nearby land uses. So this should help the Planning and Zoning Commission be able to make some at least have a better understanding of what happens in each of the land use areas in the article. So this matrix describes through text and pictures ideal development and the design of that development. So you can take a look at all of those, and we've illustrated all the land use areas within the comp plan. So that's the land use strategy in a nutshell. I wanted to get a little bit more in depth in terms of specific recommendations within the plan. We're starting at section 5, which we call Prosperous City. And this is the chapter that looks at downtown. It looks at your other commercial areas and it looks at your industrial areas. And we have some simple goal statements. One is downtown should be a focus of community planning and development effort going forward. And I'll describe some more of those strategies in a moment. We took a look at your commercial areas, and the strategy here is really just focusing on your existing commercial areas, trying to fill those commercial areas in. And in some cases, there may be commercial areas where you may want to change the zoning or land use mix a little bit in order to fill those areas out. And then we took a look at some of your two major industrial areas and took a close look at those in terms of the future. Now the downtown, we have several different strategies for the downtown. We kind of summarize it all in the strategy map, which is on page 99. And I'll describe some of the major concepts in the downtown. Overall, what we were thinking in terms of the downtown, obviously with the expansion of Illinois 47, it's no longer the downtown it used to be. You now have basically a highway that goes through your downtown. And we took a little bit different tack, I believe, from the last downtown plan. Our focus on this plan is to actually reorient downtown east and west, rather than making major investments along 47. Just looking east and west along Von Amen and Hydraulic Street to make these areas really kind of more the production-oriented, commercial-oriented downtown. Another big focus of the plan is really expanding Riverfront Park, Bicentennial Riverfront Park. We think there are opportunities both east and west to kind of expand it a little bit more and make that a major destination, not only for the community, but for tourists and visitors. It really is a great asset to have this park here, and to be able to expand it a little bit more might make it a more attractive amenity. So really, kind of expanding the park and then reorienting downtown both east and west. Now, you see this area in yellow, these are your existing buildings. Really kind of a focus here is to do some rehabilitation and reuse of these buildings. We recognize you're probably not going to be able to keep all of them maybe, but really kind of the focus of keeping that small town commercial character in downtown New Yorkville as much as possible. So trying to have a focus on rehabilitation and reuse. You look at this site here, really kind of focusing that as temporary parking for the short term, and maybe long term, encouraging some development to happen on this parcel. A development that could be oriented towards Hydraulic Street, and it could be mixed use. Ideally, it would be mixed use, probably maybe 3 to 4 stories in height. So really encouraging some development here. We call this the Legacy Block because there's an older business there. You have these grain elevators. And as a short-term strategy, we recommend actually trying to do a clean and green of this block to make it more visually appealing. We describe it in detail in the plan, but just make it visually clean. As long as the business is there, just make it a walkable area and just clean it up. And maybe putting some public art on the elevator to make it, to give a sense of destination or the placement for downtown a little bit. But long term, you could redevelop the entire block for new development if you wanted to. We do look along here as long term in terms of, we know that you have some light industrial uses here. Maybe long term looking at some infill housing or mixed use development in this area to be able to strengthen that end of the downtown and make it basically kind of expand your downtown to the east a little bit. We have two areas in the blue. One is the county courthouse. We did have discussions with Kendall County about their facilities. And what they have told us is that they want to be able to potentially expand their facilities in this location. And so one of the recommendations we have is to work with the county and make this a Kendall County complex and make it its own campus so that you can expand it. Now it's tight in there. We know there's not a lot of land to work with, but they are thinking about potential redevelopment or at least adding one new building as an administrative center. And then another long term is maybe relocating City Hall in this area. One thing that we heard from residents is they would like to have another anchor in the downtown, preferably City Hall. So there's probably some potential here to maybe locate City Hall at some point in the future. So that's really kind of the downtown strategies overall. You see some these red lines. These are both on Amon, Hydraulic and Main Street would be areas where you could do some special streetscaping, again, to make it a very pedestrian-oriented downtown. A lot of effort, or at least some look should be looking at trying to make the pedestrian crossings across 47 a little bit better than what they are right now. But doing some streetscape improvements would help sort of unify the downtown and make it a more attractive place. So that's downtown in a nutshell. We do, apart from downtown, we do look at some of the other commercial areas, and this is outlined on page 100. As I've said before, a lot of our recommendations are really focused on infill the existing shopping areas. There is available land, as I'm sure you're aware. So really focusing economic development efforts on filling out those areas. So if you've outlined those, we also outlined the two TOD zones as areas where you could potentially expand some commercial in the future. We did take a look at several sites in the plan. I'm just pointing out a couple here. One thing you heard loud and clear, not only downtown, but we want a grocery store in the community. And so looking at the southern end of 47, near 71 and that intersection, and taking a look at several different parcels or land areas that where the grocery store could happen. And so we've developed some concepts for for how the grocery store could be located and sited. There are, you know, a couple of parcels that we think really would work well. This one is Site A over here. This is Site A. We think that that would be a suitable area for grocery store and outlet, or I mean out parcel developments. So it would be a substantial size. But then we look at several other sites. This is Site C further south, where I think there's a grocery store looking at right now, if I remember correctly. So we did, you know, develop a couple sites or site options for how the grocery store could be developed along the site. Now going further north, we're looking at Parkway, the Parkway development site. This is just north of the Raging Waves Water Park. And the reason why we took a look at this area is we feel like this could potentially happen in, maybe in the 10-year time frame with this plan. We think this would be the furthest north that commercial development could happen in North Pole along 47, especially if some of the subdivisions around it continue to build out. We took a look at the site, and we developed a concept for some smaller commercial sites, and sort of making it sort of, you know, restaurant-oriented, especially if you have the water park right here. We did try to respond to some ideas from the community about adding some park space, so putting an active park or a recreation facility on the other side towards the east of the site might be something to look at, whether they be future ball fields or play fields or so forth. A couple of people asked us whether or not a hotel could go on the site. We didn't program one in there, but feasibly maybe a hotel could locate in there. One thing to note in this concept is that you'll see in our corridor plans, and we introduced this concept throughout the plan, is maybe trying to encourage a landscape buffer along the road. It could be anywhere from 10 to 50 feet, and we put that in there simply because that could be a character-defining element for Yorkville. We heard again from the community, is one of the reasons why they moved here from residents is that they like the small town character of Yorkville. And there's a way can we maintain that feel of that environment. So we incorporated that landscape buffer as part of it. We do show pictures in the plan where you could, and other communities have done this. It's not, we're not just proposing it for Yorkville, but other communities have done it, where they do some defining, like fencing or gateways, again, to be able to tie the community of Yorkville together. So we've seen, I guess there's some horse farms nearby, and so this would sort of tie into that similar rural feel. Industrial areas, we took a look at the two that they have here. We did take a look at potential site along Old Domain Road. Overall, we don't recommend in the plan any significant expansion of industrial, but we just took a look at what you had already. So our plan kind of reemphasizes, you know, filling out the available industrial land that you have along 47. This may happen in the future, we don't know. But if it does happen, we kind of limit the industrial expansion to this area. Because we know we'd like to reserve some of this land over here for residential or transit-oriented development zone. So, we did take a look at the Fox Industrial Park, which is at Route 47, near Route 47, along Interloop 71. The Fox Industrial Park to the north, the existing area here, could potentially also be redeveloped. Well, we took a look at the land south of there as a potential expansion of the park and having an opportunity to add some more industrial uses long term and maybe sort of design in terms of a more modern industrial park with the type of landscaping that you see in subcounty industrial parks. So we looked at this this area as a potential expansion in the future. In the future. So I didn't include the other industrial areas, but anyway, we think this could be a potential focus for development in the long term. Okay, so we now going into the neighborhoods. The gambling policies, we start in 1812. We kind of divide the residential areas in Yorkville in terms of the areas around the downtown that were developed when the downtown was developed. So we're looking sort of like from the 1870s all the way to the 1940s. And then the rest of the community where residential kind of happened after 1950. So we kind of divided the residential areas in that time frame. And so what we have in the plan is we have a traditional zone, a traditional housing, where really there's a focus on trying to maintain that core as much as possible, trying to encourage compatible development in this area, encourage physical improvements and capital improvements to maintain these areas as much as possible, whether they be new sidewalks or so forth. So really kind of focusing on maintaining this area, sort of the historic traditional core of Yorkville. And we do have recommendations on branding and sort of providing gateways into this area to sort of set it apart a little bit. We did take a long look at the other areas besides the traditional core, looking at the other residential areas in Yorkville. And we sort of divided the residential areas according to a typology. And in terms of what we want to see happen in the land in the future. And I don't know why, PowerPoint shows these light green areas as yellow. They should be yellow, these light green areas. But what you see in the green is sort of is the what we call the state residential. So if we were to encourage residential in these areas, this would be larger lot, bigger homes, basically. If you see in these light green areas or yellow areas, we call these suburban neighborhoods, and these are areas where your typical subdivisions are occurring. And as I've explained before, we do have a new area over here called Good Density Residential, where we can encourage apartments and higher density residential to happen. And then we have these two zones called the two transit-oriented development zones, where we want to do probably a mix of housing in order to have some density near the potential transit station. Now, throughout the plan, we also took a look at your neighborhoods in terms of where they're at in terms of their development. And I'm sure, as you know, we have subdivisions that are almost complete, and then we have subdivisions that haven't even gotten off the ground. They're just what we call paper subdivisions. And so we try to take a look at what the strategy is for these areas. What do we want to see happen? And basically, we kind of divide it into four tiers in terms of where they're at, in terms of their zoning, their entitlements, whether they have infrastructure in them, and the level of development. And so the first tier being the active subdivisions, and these being subdivisions where we really want to focus our energies on completing them. And then we have all the way to Tier 4, which are the paper subdivisions. They're not entitled and they're not platted. And it's in these, it's in Tier 4 where we think we can do something a little bit different in terms of the land use. And so I show a map here in terms of the Tier 4 subdivisions. These are the subdivisions that haven't been worked on. So as you go forward, these are areas where you may want to consider changing the zoning or looking at something different or a different type of housing product. And so in these areas, they could go back to agriculture, they can go to open space, they can go to estate residential. So as a plan commission, this is an area, these are areas where you may want to think what can happen to them long term. Okay, a few more slides. We did take a look at your transportation systems and your infrastructure, and tying that to growth and industry a little bit. And so we have sort of six major goals. One is to continue sort of monitoring what happens to your transportation system in terms of what this IDOT is planning on doing, building out your bicycle and trail networks. Managing the parking supply in downtown Yorkville, and updating some of your infrastructure systems in terms of its planning, so you can have updated infrastructure systems. And then adding to your open space and managing community growth. And just to highlight a few things in the transportation section, we did take a look at your bicycle trail network. In the 2008 plan, there was an extensive bicycle trail plan, and a lot of that was very reliant on subdivisions being built out and having that trail network being all connected to each other. Well, now that there's a different landscape out there in terms of the development that's happening, there needs to be a sort of a better emphasis on maybe looking at on-street connections to be able to connect the bicycle trail network together. Community systems and infrastructure. One of the things that we were looking at is sort of where your infrastructure needs are. And a couple of things. One is there needs to be an update to the water supply and infrastructure plan currently. And coordinating what the Yorkville Bristol Sanitary District does for the overall plan of expansion of its treatment system, and then focusing infill development on existing areas. So it was a major part of the community systems infrastructure plan. We did look at your growth management strategies. And then taking a look at a couple of things. One is making sure that all your boundary agreements are updated. There needs to be a boundary agreement over here with Millbrook. And I believe that your boundary agreement with Joliet is going to expire.
We don't have one with Joliet.
So it would be good going forward to have some boundary agreements in place. This map kind of shows in purple all the unincorporated subdivisions that are near Yorkville. And the fact that you, as Illinois communities within your extraterritorial jurisdiction, are allowed to sort of kind of enforce your subdivision regulations on subdivisions that are within your territorial jurisdiction. And it's something you may want to think about is exercising that right with subdivisions that are right next to your right within your planning area. We have another map within the plan that shows a few subdivisions that are less than 60 acres. And those are subdivisions you may want to think about annexing into Yorkville. But anyway, you do have a lot of development that's happening in and around Yorkville, and you may want to think about really working and making sure that their subdivisions are designed up to date with your subdivisions. We focus on parks. We only have a few recommendations on parks. I already talked about Riverfront Bicentennial Park being a major recommendation on expanding that. Another thing is potentially looking at developing a park district so that you can be able to have the tools necessary to add parks, park space, and maintain the amenities that are within those parks. We did take a look extensively at your corridor. That is one chapter in itself, starting on page 143. And as I said a moment ago, really a major emphasis of the corridors is, trying to maintain the community character and trying to make sure that we have managed growth within certain areas of the corridors. That character buffer being a significant feature along the El Domain corridor in certain parts of Illinois 47. So I'm just showing one aspect of the corridor plan here, Illinois 47 going south of the Fox River, and we sort of highlight ideal main beaches and where they should be located. We do show how the character buffer could work, however big it is, and maintaining that character buffer, especially as an entry point into Yorkville. And then the last chapter, starting on 169, is implementation, and we focus on funding sources. We talk a little bit more about placemaking. We talk about streetscape, and we talk about implementation priorities within that chapter. And again, I'm not going to go into any great detail. We do outline several funding sources that can be used to develop at least carry out some aspects of the plan. Whether or not it be your capital improvements program, tax increment financing, I'm sure you've heard of special service areas in terms of the subdivisions, but special service areas are used in communities of, most predominantly in their commercial districts. So that is a tool that could be potentially used. In the plan, we do recommend some code changes. One, taking a look at your subdivision code and updating it in certain ways. We also discuss a little bit more about zoning and other tools that are available, such as a form-based code, which is a different type of zoning that could be used for implementing in your downtown. We do talk about placemaking, and a couple of items. One way in which to sort of brand Yorkville and to sort of tie the various parts of the community together is they have a community-wide wayfinding and gateway system. And we have, you know, we developed a concept gateway wayfinding family over here. And in encouraging public art in the community. Your downtown would be a great location for public art as a way to sort of, you know, again, place to make Yorkville. We do have an illustration of the potential streetscape project, you know, of how the streetscape could look, or the development could look in downtown Yorkville. And again, we think Von Amen and Hydraulic Street would be great candidates for certain streetscape improvements. And we do recommend sort of taking a look at developing a more comprehensive streetscape program to make downtown Yorkville a more walkable and enjoyable place. Obviously, in this concept, we show new development happening on that lot. We like the idea of really kind of branding Hydraulic Street. It's really a cool name for a street in the downtown. So I'm kind of thinking there would be a Hydraulic Street brewery that would open up at some point. We think there's a lot of potential for Hydraulic Street to really become a nice active street, especially because it's near the Fox River. And then last but not least, we have some recommendations on how to use the comprehensive plan in terms of sort of guiding your work with the Planning and Zoning Commission, guiding the work of the City Council. Our approach to our comprehensive plans is not to get too technical with them. We like to just have broad stroke strategies that you can look at and implement. We think we were able to do that with this comprehensive plan. So, any questions? I know there's a lot of that.
How important do you see the possible metro annexation of your impact area? It sounds like it's quite important. I've seen other towns, how they develop around that, how it actually brings people from more inner city area out this way. And ease of jump out of the train and get to work. When you can live 20 minutes or 20 miles away from downtown and still have an hour commute. So you see that as being an area where we should maybe put as much effort as we can into as ways of getting more people to the community, more access to trains, more people coming out?
I think so. I think it's the belief of our team that it's pretty important, that it would help the community for sure. You know, because there are going to be people who are going to take the train that not necessarily going to go all the way to Chicago.
Right.
You know, so they may want to go into Naperville.
Well, there's going to be a fine line of being able to get people to come out here to partially finance some of these beautification. And, you know, it kind of goes hand in hand. You got to put some more rooftops and businesses in here to pay for some of it. So
right.
I think that's a great way. You look at what downtown Meade, downtown Winfield, I mean, that's kind of the look that seem to work there, so.
Yeah, absolutely. I mean, having a metro station, it's just an added amenity, attraction for people. And there are going to be people who want to move out here, like I said, simply because they like the small town atmosphere, but they may want their job somewhere else. So the metro station will help in that mobility, for sure.
Staff is actually meeting with Metro in the next couple of weeks to talk about the location just north of Wrigley. They have put forth the funds that were set aside to go forward with their research and their plan for feasibility.
It seems so important, especially to me. Not that I'm going to be spend their money here and jump on a train and get out of here.
Right. And the natural course of development around a train is retail.
Right.
Mm-hmm. And to encourage retail to stay and to build up is
residential.
Right. But what's a realistic timetable for Metro to make a decision like that?
Well, right now. Right now, they're doing their feasibility study, so that can take anywhere from 6 months to a year, because they have to do, depending on how far they go with their feasibility, I think they're going to start over with population calculations, because the last time they did the feasibility study was early 2000s, like 2001, right when the boom was still taking off, hadn't crashed yet, so the numbers have changed as far as population. So we'll see where we are there, and then if they decide to go into the investment of engineering studies, which they do have the funds for, we'll see how long that may take.
Awesome. All right, well, you're good now, and you don't have anything else right now, do you? You're good? Okay. Well, thank you.
Staff just wants to mention a few things.
Yeah. Well, I thought we'd get down there to
the spot. Oh, sure. We can do that. Just some of the implementation strategies that Lakota has presented, we have begun to work on those. So we are looking into parking study for downtown, other aspects. Staff will probably be taking on form-based code, zoning layers, updating our subdivision control ordinance, a lot of things that were pointed out.
And then that's going to really help get the rubber meeting the road, right? And getting it going.
Correct.
Awesome. Excellent. Thank you. All righty. Is there anybody here present that would like to speak in favor of the request? Seeing none. Is there anybody here that would like to speak opposed to the request? Seeing none. Good to go. Okay. Seeing that all of the public testimony has been taken on this proposed request at this public hearing, could I get a motion to close out of the public hearing portion of this, please? Second. Roll call vote on the motion, please.
Yes. Jerez?
Yes.
Markham?
Yes.
Olson?
Yes.
Vineyard?
Yes.
Gockman?
Yes.
Goins?
Yes.
Parker?
Yes. All right. Seeing as there's no old business, moving on to new business, PZC 2016-01, United City of Yorkville will conduct a public hearing regarding the adoption of the proposed update to the Yorkville Comprehensive Plan, including a new future land use map pursuant to Section 11-12-7 of the Illinois Municipal Code. 65 ILCS 5/11-12-7 and section 9-1-1 of the Yorkville City Code. So we need to, did anybody here that have any questions, you know, any concerns, anything else in regards to the comprehensive plan that was presented here tonight? The one thing I would just like to add is I was on the steering committee towards the end, and the Lakota group, and working with the United City of Yorkville, just did a fantastic job. I mean, what you've proposed here in this plan is really exciting. You know, so thank you.
Thank you.
Anybody else? Okay.
Mm-hmm.
Yes. Instead of just doing a study or doing this and then letting it, you know, get dust. Yeah, that's awesome. Awesome. Okay. May I have a motion to approve the findings of facts or the petition on PZC 2016-01? Motion to approve.
My pleasure.
Awesome.
There's a draft motion.
Oh, could you read that?
Oh,
draft motion.
Okay.
Thank you.
Okay. In consideration of the testimony presented during the public hearing on August 10, 2016, and discussion conducted at that meeting, the Plan and Zoning Commission recommends approval to the City Council. A request to adopt the proposed comprehensive plan update is required. dated August 4, 2016, and summarized in a staff memorandum dated August 3, 2016, and further subject to insert any additional conditions of the planning and zoning commission.
No.
So we don't have any additional conditions?
There are no conditions.
Awesome. So can I get a...
Make a motion.
Second.
Awesome. Can I get a roll call vote on the motion, please?
Yes. Markham?
I'll abstain, which is not a commentary on the plan. It's a commentary on my lack of preparedness.
Thank you. Olson?
Yes.
Vineyard?
Yes.
Gockman?
Yes.
Goins?
Yes.
Horez?
Yes.
Parker?
Yes. The motion is approved. Thank you. All righty. Moving on to the next action item here. PZC 2016-02, Jets Towing and Services Petitioner, has filed an application with Kendall County requesting a zoning map amendment rezoning from A1 Agricultural to M1 Limited Manufacturing. The property is located at 790 Eldemain Road in Bristol Township and is currently being used for a towage and a towing and truck storage area.
All right, so this is one of the 1.5 mile reviews that the city received. Anytime any unincorporated property within our boundary area that's defined by our comprehensive plan is proposed. This particular matter was actually a compliance issue, which meant that they were operating this facility illegally in the county, and in the sense that it wasn't zoned for that operation, zoned agriculture. So it was brought to the county's attention. It's about an 8-9 acre parcel, and the petitioner, in order to rectify the compliance matter, decided to rezone the property. So it's being considered by the county. There's some questions that the county had expressed with the petition as well when I talked to them about a week ago, and the petitioner was provided with staff's memo. They were invited to come to tonight's meeting. They didn't show. The main area that staff has, this property is actually located on Eldemain Road. In the current 2008 comprehensive plan, it shows this area as industrial, which would be consistent with their request to go manufacturing. And actually, the county has, in their comprehensive plan, this area kind of ambiguous, which had like a mixed-use category. They called out some areas for industrial, but this was not the particular area that was called out for industrial. In consideration of tonight, we just had our public hearing for a comprehensive plan update. Looking at the new future land use for this property, it would have a designation of a estate or conservation residential, which is consistent with its current zoning category in the county as A1. So staff had a few objections to the petition, and we raised that to the county as well. They're aware of that, and some of those being that this is a matter that is currently operating land use in violation of the existing Kendall County A1 zoning district. Furthermore, it's inappropriate for the surrounding land area, which is pretty much large open space, residential and ag use, and that the petitioners may also seek, and I think they are seeking, a variance from the county standard regarding fencing. And that may become an issue because they are going to be storing vehicles on that site. They already are, and they do not have a solid foundation of where they're going to be parking the vehicles. It's going to be like crushed rock. They don't want to pay. I think the county may recommend or require them to pay, but that would be staff's recommendation from the city as well. And it's inconsistent with our future land use for our updated comprehensive plan. So should you agree with those objection points, staff will pass those on to City Council, and City Council will then conformally pass those on to the county. If you want to add some, or if you feel that the staff's assessment is inconsistent, you can just let me know and we can pass that information on.
Okay. I like staff's recommendations.
Oh, yes.
They've got a front-end loader, and they're just driving stuff and pushing them around the site. The map they have here is older. doesn't look like that.
Oh, okay.
They literally just put piles and started pushing them out into the farmlands.
It looks like hell.
Okay.
If you were to put stake arrows in there on that, I wouldn't want for
that. Right.
That's just counterproductive.
Okay.
Especially with no visual barrier between that site and this property.
How long have they been there doing this?
I don't know.
I think a couple of years.
Yeah, I was going to say 2 weeks, I guess.
That's my
And this map is from 2014. The aerial that I have is from 2014.
I thought it was somebody who just, I figured this was like a Menard or somebody. It was hauling from Menards all this time. Yeah. See here. It was like a Parker truck here.
We'll pass the image around for everybody.
They're also living here too, correct?
Yes, they are. So it supposedly it's the owner and they're the wife, and they live in the actual home. They operate this business. They say they don't have any employees. It's just them. So.
We're concerned about the fluids.
Oh, sure. Sure. I can see that.
You can see there's a farm motor on the one part there. Mm-hmm. Just a different green area because that one's over there.
Right. That I don't know. I don't know if they've been there the whole while, if they just acquired it.
Well, there is a creek by there.
Gotcha. So when we do that, is there, if everybody kind of agrees that with the staff comments?
Right. So what happens is you can take a vote if you agree with staff comments, and then we can unifiably propose to the city council, this is the recommendation from the Planning and Zoning Commission. At that time, the city council can either decide to informally oppose this by having staff write a letter and communicate with the Planning Department of the county, or they can formally object, which they file a formal objection with the county. So you can make a recommendation to do an informal or formal objection.
Do you have any feel on what they're looking for?
I think the county is pretty consistent with what staff is recommending, and that we would be opposed to any variance in regards to fencing. We think the use is inconsistent, and that we would not recommend them parking vehicles on gravel surfaces. So we can do an informal objection.
Can we do a formal one?
You can, if you choose. If you choose to do a formal objection. So you would be recommending the city council to formally object to this, and then the city council would make their...
That is my answer.
Okay. How do you guys feel with the formal objection?
It's fine by me.
Okay. Do we do it all in favor? Yay?
Yes.
Do we need to do a motion for this?
You can do a motion. I think it would be helpful to do a motion.
Okay.
It's an informal information item. So you can do
the action.
Yes.
Yeah. Okay.
To file a formal objection.
Okay. Well, can I get a motion to approve the formal, the formal objection and approve the staff's recommendations for the PZC 2016-02?
So moved.
Second.
Awesome. Roll call on the vote, please.
Yes. Olson?
Yes.
Vineyard?
Yes.
Gockman?
Yes.
Goins?
Yes.
Juarez?
Yes.
Markham?
Yes.
Harker?
Yes. All right. Excellent. Okay. Moving on to additional business here. First order of business here, we'd like to welcome Jason Edberg as the senior planner here. York Philly took Chris's spot. Filled in Chris's position. Came on board on August 1st, correct?
Yep.
So, welcome, buddy.
Thanks. Just want to say, happy to be here. Looking forward to some of the things I'm going to be working on. As implementing, hoping to find implementation strategies in the comp plan that we can keep moving forward on. I was an intern here 3 or 4 years ago. Then I worked for Tesco for a few years as a consultant. Coda Group, and excited to be back. Me and Chrissy work well together, so looking forward to it. So,
welcome back.
Yeah, excellent.
Welcome.
All right. The additional business here is the 2016 Planning and Zoning Commission meeting schedule.
Yes. If you have any objections to the remainder of the year schedule, what we'll do is typically it happens every year. At the end of the year, you'll get a schedule of what the next year schedule will be. Since we started this commission in the middle of the year, you have four more open dates, September 14th, and they're consistently the second Wednesday of each month starting at 7 p.m. So if you have any objection to any of these dates or maybe the time of one of these dates, let me know. Typically, we usually run into issues in December. We try, if we don't have any petitions in December, it's been known not to have a meeting in December. So if the 14th is an issue for anyone, or any of those other dates, let me know. Otherwise, those are our formal dates. And then Jason would like to mention something for the October or November meeting.
Yeah, so we were thinking about doing a Planning and Zoning Commissioner training. It's run through the American Planning Association. I think somebody I used to work with, Michael Bloom. He does these all over the state, and he works with...
China.
Yes, and so they run together, and we're looking for October, November, since those are typically low-key months that things are happening. The one thing he said, typically the training sessions can be about 2 to 2.5 hours. So I emailed him today about those dates. They're seeing which one works better, October, November, for them. But for either of those, we may want to do maybe a 6 or 6:30, since they take a little bit longer, may not run here. But if we do that, we're going to have to post that's a special meeting, and that we're changing the time, I believe, 15 days beforehand. You know, typical, have to notify everybody that it's going to be a different time. So, regardless, it would have to be up to you guys. Once we get a final date, we'll let you know, and then you guys can all make a decision. If 6 is too early for some people, 6:30, just an idea.
Okay, awesome. Thank you. And then now we'll talk about, we're going to appoint a vice chairman for the Planning and Zoning Commission.
Yes. The way that the ordinance was set up, we decided to have a vice chair position just in case if the chairperson is not present. This person will take on the duties of the chairperson, which is running meetings, calling roll call, and...
getting your morning coffee.
Yeah. Whatever else the chairperson does. So the mayor appoints the chairman and your committee, and it's actually every fiscal year you appoint your vice chair. So the city's fiscal year ends April 30th. So we would do this again at probably our April meeting, or maybe the meeting first in May. So if anyone wants to nominate any individual.
I'd like to nominate Reagan if she'd like to do it.
So we have a nomination.
We
get a second.
Somebody?
Sure. Second.
Awesome.
Let's see yourself.
That's
why I started.
Awesome. All right. Seeing there's nothing further, meeting is adjourned at 8:04.